Today is going to be exciting. We're looking at manipulation. Look, before we start, I just have to apologize. I have got a cold. And if my voice is a bit croaky, I do apologize. And if you're listening to me for the first time, I don't normally sound like this, but just bear with me. Hopefully you all get something life-changing by the end of this podcast. Now, I do genuinely think this is such an important topic that we're going to explore today. It's going to be life-changing if you really, really take everything that we talk about today on board. I really want to look at manipulation, because manipulation happens in toxic relationships, and sometimes we misunderstand what I'm really exploring manipulation. What is it? Look, when we are an empath, we are so much more allowing. We're so much more understanding. We're looking at people in a totally different way. We're allowing for the manipulation because we know as human beings, we are manipulative. It doesn't mean that we're bad people just because we're changing our behavior so we can get what we want. For instance, imagine a three-year-old. They want a chocolate or an ice cream. The way they will ask you will be so sweet and adorable that you might get that ice cream for them. But that's them using manipulation. Is that bad? Or is that just being a human being? And we've all done it to some degree. We've all been charming and sweet and loving when we want something. This is part and parcel of being a human being. And that's okay. Look, I'm all about self-love, understanding, compassion. It's okay to have needs and to have your needs met. Despite what this relationship's been telling you, this person, this toxic person, that, oh my gosh, you're selfish if you have any needs. Well, it doesn't make sense. Every single person has needs. You have a need to eat. You have a need to go to the toilet. You have a need to breathe. You have a need for water. These are needs, you know? So if anyone tells you you're selfish for wanting anything, for having desires, you need to run. They're not somebody that you should be around, you know? Every single human being has needs. That's part and parcel of being a human being. So just going back to that three-year-old, you see, when we're dealing with narcissism or psychopaths or toxic relationships, what happens is the way we stay in the relationship is through the person actually weaponizing empathy, weaponizing that so that you then stay longer than you wish you had, because you're giving them the benefit of the doubt and you're putting yourself in their shoes and going, oh, you know what? I'll let that go because I kind of understand why they're doing what they're doing, because I did that one thing that day or whatever. However, there's a difference between manipulation as a human being and there's a difference between toxic manipulation. And the one way I really want to get this across is by an acronym called DARVO. So DARVO. Okay. And I really want you to take this on board. Even if you've heard this before, hang in there. We're really going to break this down and you're going to look at it from a different perspective and really understand this. This is done, I think the study was done in 1997. So it's been around a very long time. And the study was done by somebody who's absolutely incredible. They've done an amazing job in this. I think it's Professor Jennifer Joy Freid. So I would say if you're really interested, you can look into it. So that the manipulation tactic is called DARVO, D-A-R-V-O, if you want to study it in a bit more depth. Why is this important? Let's break it down. Let's look at what is it first and foremost. Someone denies what they're actually doing. So D is deny. They will deny it. Then they will attack you in some way. Now, sometimes the attack can be sneaky. It doesn't always have to be rage. Okay, this is what I want to get across today. Sometimes people think attack is when it's really obvious. Sometimes the attack is done sneakily, like, you know, they just make you feel bad about yourself, but you feel attacked. Sometimes it's subtle, but you don't know it's even happening when the attack is happening. They're kind of saying in a way that is like, oh, I don't mean to, you know, offend you or anything. That's an attack coming, okay? But this bloody blah, blah, that's a form of attack, because what they are doing is highlighting that you've done something wrong. First, they will deny whatever it is in their own head, maybe. This is another thing I really want to, I'll go for it in a second, okay? So it's deny, they're denying anything, they do anything wrong. The second thing is they will attack you, and there's various different forms of attack. They might rage at you, they might tell you that what you're doing is, you know, unappreciative, that they're, you know, you never think about them, that you're selfish, that you're crazy, that you need to change your therapist, you need therapy, you know, you're delusional, you're all these different, or, you know, the fact that you don't know anything, you forget things, okay? So all that is attack, okay? Then what happens is they will either attack you and then just leave. For instance, they'll tell you that you're a terrible person, a terrible mother, you're terrible this, terrible that, whatever it is. And then they'll kind of drop down. Sometimes it can, the time frame this might happen might be over a couple of hours. It could be instant. Yeah. Then they will go into so they go deny, attack, then they reverse the victim and offender. So it's RVO, RVO. So that what they're doing is they're reversing the victim and the offender roles. You cannot stop someone that's toxic from not following this RVO. This is something that's kind of, you know, part of their personality disorder. You have to accept that no matter what you bring up to them, they are going to deny it. Then they're going to attack you. Then they're going to reverse the order of victim and offender. They're going to become the victim and you're going to become the offender. What does that mean? You know, first and foremost, let's look at this in a practical level. What might have you experienced? So, for instance, if you bring up that they have cheated on you, what can you expect from someone that's toxic? They will deny it. They will attack you. Then they will role reversal so that you become the offender. It's your fault that I had to go and cheat on you. It's your fault that I had to gamble all the family finances away because you didn't manage me. It's your fault that we got divorced because you didn't work at the relationship. It's your fault that things didn't work out because you didn't love me enough. It's your fault. So all these things you might have heard, right? And it's all nonsense when you really look at it. It's actually some of the things that I hear, I do laugh out loud a lot, because when you actually look at it and you're not in it and you can see the pattern of RVO, some of the stuff they come out with is just ridiculous. But when we're in that scenario and we've been trained and we're being, you know, we're being told that we're the person, we're the offender, it is normal and natural to get confused. This is the pinnacle of manipulation. This is like gaslighting at its worst. And this is toxic manipulation. If you can identify this, if you can see, if things get changed where you start to look like the bad person, where, for instance, you know, the partner isn't working and you're having to work and do everything, and then someone comes around and tells you, oh, it's your fault the marriage declined because you were working, all you did was work. I mean, it makes no sense. You know, you wouldn't need to go out and work and work so hard if the partner was pulling their weight. It makes no sense. But yet sometimes we can judge ourselves for being that person, the responsible person that is working, is taking care of the kids, is putting up with nonsense and all the rest of it, and not looking at the whole picture. This is where I have to be really honest. This is where, you know, court systems, and when I talk to a lot of my clients, you know, the system fails because they can't see and they haven't been trained in DAVO to see it. It's so clear. So, and instead, what they tend to do is attack the victim rather than seeing the offender for who they are. And what that does is that further compounds the abuse. I want to be really frank with you. One of the biggest issues in actually releasing yourself from toxic relationships is this need for the person, the toxic person, to actually acknowledge what they're doing is wrong. Acknowledge the fact that they haven't treated you right. Acknowledge the fact that they should have spent more time with you. Acknowledge the fact that they didn't treat you right. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. If anything, they're going to further compound and make you feel worse about having your needs met, about wanting love. They're going to make out that you're the needy one. You're the one with the problem. It's inevitable. So if you're hanging out, if you're waiting for an apology, if you're waiting for someone to recognize what's actually happened, be it a family, you know, a culture that's been infiltrated by the toxic person, whatever it is, it's not going to happen. Because if people can't see what's really happening, you can't show them. This is where, you see, if we look at DAVO, what happens? Why do we get into a space of wanting to defend ourselves, explain ourselves, you know, tell people the truth? Why do we get into that? Because we're trying to get out of the offender role. You can try your hardest. You can do whatever you want. It's never going to change. They're not going to see the fact of the truth. They're going to deny. They're going to attack you in some way. They're going to role reversal. This is part and parcel of a toxic manipulation technique. Okay, so what do we do then? We can't get that, sorry. We can't, you know, get them to acknowledge what they did was wrong. We can't get other people to acknowledge what they did was wrong. What do we do then? We really have to let go. There is absolutely no point in fighting this battle. Do you really, really, truly need them to say sorry anyway? To acknowledge what you've been through? Do you? Do you really need that? Because the truth of the matter is, you don't really need it. You don't. It doesn't really help you in terms of your healing process. Healing doesn't happen through somebody else. Healing happens within you. If you had a cut on your arm, for instance, you know, the healing isn't going to occur from, you know, somebody else acknowledging that, yeah, they accidentally cut you. The healing is going to come from within your own body, within you being able to, you know, your body being able to heal it. That's the way, you know, even emotional trauma happens. The emotional wounds happen. We need to follow a set process. There's only a set way of doing things. When we've been in a toxic relationship, we need to stabilize ourselves, regulate our body, and then start helping our brain feel safe again, so that we can look at the emotional wounds and release the emotional wounds. Emotional regulation is key here. That hurt, that pain, the emotional pain, the feeling of feeling like, oh, it's my fault. It's so awful. Because imagine this, right? Imagine that, okay, you've been abused. But on top of that, when you acknowledge that you've been abused and you bring it out into the open, you would get abused even more because of DAVO. They deny, they attack you further, and then they role reversal. So they become the victim and you become the offender. Can you bring your head around this whole thing? Can you get your head around like how bad this is? Not only have you been abused, then you're further abused and further abused and further abused. The more you try to get them to acknowledge what they did, the worse the abuse gets. Do you get it? And this is where it can become like an addiction, because we believe on one path, the only path of healing is for them to acknowledge that you're not the offender and that you are the victim. But what if there's two paths or three paths to get to where you want to get to the healing? Maybe it isn't just the path of they have to admit. They're not going to. The more you focus on getting them to admit what they did was wrong, the worse the abuse you're going to experience. That's why there's really no point in bringing up to a narcissist that of what they've done and what they haven't done. You know, there's no point. You're not going to get what you need from them. But there is another way. The other way is for you to really heal yourself. And whilst you heal yourself, you literally let go. You stop focusing on them, focusing on getting them to admit what they did, and start focusing on, I need to do this moving forward. And the only way of dealing with a narcissist is to get away from them, to create space from them, to run as fast as you can and don't look back. That is the only way. If you have another way, and if you think that you can actually get them to admit who they are, even if they're doing deep, deep therapy, they will fall into those kind of traps, because no matter what you do, sometimes I have to bring this up. Sometimes you haven't even done anything and they're denying and attacking you and role reversing you. And before you know it, they're talking about how they're the victim. And all of this is going on in their head, and you're getting something, you know, you're getting the tail end of everything. So let me explain. So for instance, say if a married man is going out on a date, or a married woman, yeah, is going out on a date, and what they're doing because they feel guilty is they start attacking their partner, and the partner probably doesn't even know what they're doing. And they don't even know why they're being the way they are. But this is all going on inside their own head. And all of a sudden you're being attacked and you're being, the offender. And now they're the victim. And you're like, I don't even know what happened. I don't even know what I did. Can you see how this gets played out on a day-to-day level, where you're walking on eggshells every single day and you don't even know what's going on in their head? That, you know, sometimes you haven't even done anything. So I really want you to look at your relationships. Do you have people in your life that cheer you on? You're running a marathon. Do you want people around you that, as you're trying to run your marathon, are booing you and telling you, you can't do it? Why did you ever bother? Or do you want people in the crowd cheering you on? You can do it. You can get through this. You keep going, keep going. When you're down, you hear them and it keeps you going. There's people that give you the water, your life source, so you keep going. Who do you want to have around you? You see, when we've got people that are manipulating us in this way, we don't even try. We don't go for the marathon run, yeah, because we don't have people that are supporting us. But when we know we've got people supporting us, we think, yeah, I can get through this. I can push myself further. What are you not doing in your life? What is it that you've got to a point where now you don't even bother trying? You used to have all these dreams, these wishes, you wanted to go further in your life, and you've experienced all this manipulation. You're so unsure of yourself now. You don't even bother trying like you used to. If you want to heal that and get back on track, get back onto your dreams and start being your happy, vibrant, amazing self, the true you, then you need to really see that this isn't about them. It's about you. What they're doing is a load of nonsense. If you start seeing that people are making you feel bad, then start seeing they're reversing who you are. They're making you out to be an offender when you're not. You're actually the victim. You're actually being mistreated. And it's just that you don't know. Do you want to be mistreated moving forward? Or do you want to start cultivating love, self-love, and start having people around you that cheer you on, having even in your own mind someone that cheers you on, like, you can do this, you can get up, come on, let's go, let's be the best version of you. I would say, you know, when we've been in toxic relationship, it's inevitable because of the way the brain works that we stop pushing ourselves, we stop dreaming big, we stop living life the way we wanted. We get into this comfort zone where we're just trying to get through each day. I say to you, why not heal yourself and dream big again? Be the best version of yourself. Get back up. Get out there and be big, be bold, be you. And get out there and express who you are. Stop looking for the narcissist to acknowledge what they've done. Start instead looking at how you can acknowledge what they've done. Are you spending the time that you need to spend with you? Are you taking care of you? That's the questions that you have to ask. Are you expecting the narcissist to take care of you? All you can expect from a narcissist is to deny that you have any needs, attack you if you have any needs, reverse everything so that you become the offender and they become the a victim if you have any needs. Darvo gets played out in so many different ways in the toxic relationship, and it happens so fast. Sometimes we need to just slow things down and really observe. And I would say to you, maybe you want to even look at the last interaction with the person that you were with and just know, did they deny? Are they denying what I'm saying? Do I feel like what I'm asking is too much? Are they attacking me in some way and making me feel like I'm the needy one, or I'm asking for too much, or there's a problem with me because I have this need? You know, it's really important. And sometimes it can be really subtle, as all you're asking for is a friend to spend more time with you, or a boss to treat you with the respect that you deserve, or a boss not to take on board all your work as if they have done it. So it's really looking at, how is Darvo being played out where you're being made to look like the bad one? And what can you do? You have to accept they're not going to suddenly change into a normal human being. That's the difference. That's the difference here between toxic manipulation and normal manipulation that human beings do, you know, when you're trying to get what you want. So if it's toxic, you're actually denying, you're attacking someone, and you're role reversing them. So you're further abusing them. Whereas if you're manipulating someone so you can get what you want, like you want your child to do their homework and you say, I will get you this if you do your homework on time. Yeah, that's manipulation, but is it really that bad? Or you're saying no to pizza and you're blaming somebody else. Is that really like toxic manipulation and gaslighting? No. You're not attacking or role reversing. That's a lot deeper. You know, that it's really looking at the differences so that you stop blaming yourself. Because you've got to remember, the narcissist is blaming you all the time, and you're actually thinking that you are a bad person because of it. Instead, we want to start seeing that you are doing great. You're doing incredibly. You've been through a lot, and having more and more compassion towards yourself. And if it's something you want to do, If you, like my clients, want to get your life back, and there's nothing I enjoy more than seeing pictures of my clients doing really well, happy, genuinely happy, getting on with their life and going out there and being the, you know, the best version of themselves, big and bold again. I love it. I can't tell you. I love hearing about how well my clients are doing at work, in their relationships. It's incredible what can happen once we start to release the trauma. Now, if it's something you're interested in, I have a new masterclass that you might want to go through. Please have a look in the resources section. There's a free masterclass and I go through everything where I explain everything in more detail around the brain. You know, that would really be useful for you. Look, in the meantime, please be loving towards yourself. Take care of yourself. You've been through so much. And really, if you think you need to go through this podcast again or share this with somebody, please do. Because I think this is the number one thing that we need to fully understand to protect ourselves, not just even now in toxic relationships, but moving forward. So you can really identify if you feel like a bad person, has someone just done a Darvo on me? You know, have they done a Darvo move on me? So that you can then really be that much more loving and know that, I need to create space and I need to acknowledge that I can't get this person to acknowledge what it is that I'm looking them to do, for them to do. And then it's easier to start that process of letting go. Sending you so much love. Till next time.